Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and Kyle's still not feeling good, so keep praying for him. So I dragged in a few other people. We have a lot of guests today, so I'm actually really excited about this episode. We have Steph and Brett and Ida, so welcome to the show, guys.
Hello. Good morning.
I was not dragged.
Okay, sorry. That's wrong terminology, but I invited all of them to come in and record, and they all graciously said yes. So excited about this episode. This is most of our family ministry team, sans Jerry. Get well soon, Jerry. Jerry's not feeling great today either. So it's the four of us, and yeah, really looking forward to our discussion today. So, you know, as we were kind of getting ready for this episode, and this is our family ministry team, and we've actually had quite a few multi-gen opportunities the past few weeks. We've had like Mahjong night, we had a basketball night, we had multi-gen service. So we've had a lot of multi-gen things because multi-generational family is one of the values of our church. So I thought it would be good, since we have our family ministry team here, to be able to have a discussion on the value of multi-gen in our church. So would anyone like to start? How about you, Brett?
I enjoy it. I think it is an adjustment having everybody all in service together, but I think the ways, especially since you've been kind of heading it, and just the different aspects that you've included in it, I think it's been really cool. I mean, it's one of the times that I get to be in service too, so I enjoy that. But being able to see the youth, the kids, and then the rest of the congregation, it does feel like you're a part of the whole body of the church. And so, I always enjoy it. And it's cool to see the different age groups being involved, or, you know, the kids helping out. And just making church, I think it's different than probably what the average person would assume church is like.
Okay, how about for you, Steph?
Yeah. Again, it's like Brett, maybe the only week I'm in service. It's always a good time for me, but I kind of picture those services kind of like, I don't know, it just feels like a living room to me. Like all the families packed in, and it's not super polished or, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, it's just, there's kids, there's all ages, and with all the things that come with that, and it's just life, and I appreciate that, and just as someone who does have kids on the younger side, I'm super grateful for just our church and that they value the multi-generational family. And I see the ways that it benefits my kids and the way that they are just always so excited to hang out with the older kids and, you know, play basketball with them or foosball or whatever, or just run around. And, it's just one of those things that I'll forever be grateful for as they grow up, and that they have awesome role models and people to look up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about for you, Ida?
Oh. Well, a couple things come to mind. I do love that our church does the multi-gen service, because at our previous church, we didn't have that. And before we got married, we were going to that church, and I remember seeing all these kids, but I didn't know who they belonged to because they were never part of our main service. But now that we have, I mean, now I have kids too, but even at Catalyst before we had kids, I got to know the kids. I knew who their parents were. I knew their names. I got to say hi and say their names, where I couldn't do that before. So it's nice. I think it's good to know who they are, who know their whole family. And then actually this past service, I sat in the front row on the left side, like closer to the drums. Mm-hmm. And then so I saw all the kids sitting in the front. They were sitting cross-legged, and they were super attentive, Damon. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if they're always like that. But it was like they wanted to be there. And then when you think about, like, your kids doing the announcement, I could imagine they're excited, right? Like, are you going to speak again, Dad? You know, because I want to do the announcement. I don't know if that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking this. But
no, they do. They love doing the announcements. Yeah. And they were a little bummed that they didn't get to do them this past Sunday. But, yeah, generally they want to do them more often, actually. So.
Yeah. So, you know, they feel like that's their service. Mm-hmm. Right? So I want that for all of our kids. Like, this is their service. This is their space. This is their home. This is like their living room. You know, maybe we don't want footballs to be thrown around in the front, but, you know, it's fun. It's real. We get to see the kids run around, and it's life, right? It's family life. So I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I think with for me, with the multi-gen service, it's just an opportunity for us to have our kids see what service is like as an adult too,
yeah.
Right? So it's modeled by even the youth. I feel like they've done a good job stepping up and modeling what it looks like to sit in a service or to hear a message or to worship in the front and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been taking out the first row of seats in the front so that there's more space for the kids and the youth to sit in the front. And I feel like that's really been a good opportunity for just all of them to model it for each other, to help look out for each other. And that's really been beneficial for all of them, you know. And kind of a discussion that Brett and I were having a little bit ago is that, you know, we want to, as a church, help our youth especially recognize the transition from, you know, going from youth group to going to becoming an adult. And you know, when the youth group is gone, what's going to happen, right? And we want them to be ready to be a part of the adult congregation as well. And this is an opportunity for us as a church to be able to help them on that process too. So, yep, you have anything you want to share on that, Brett?
Yeah, I think I know myself, I can get caught up with, like, oh, am I doing this well, or am I making sure that, I guess, my area of focus is excelling, or are we doing a good job? And while those things are important, I think there's a strong conviction to, for all the ages I'm dealing with in the youth, like, am I helping prepare them for what's next? And so the incoming kids, like, am I helping them get adjusted to middle school? And as they go through middle school, get ready for high school. And then as they go through high school, am I helping them get ready for actually when they're going to leave the youth group and leave me? And so I can see where multi-generational service is at a very young age already giving that exposure and planting those seeds of, like, being a part of the larger church body, being in a service, having worship, a message, all of those things. And so I think there's kind of little layered things that may not even be the first thing that comes to mind when you're serving or a part of ministry, but I do think it's valuable and important for all the kids and youth as they develop their own relationship with God and how they view church and community and whatnot. I think those things all play a role in helping them be equipped to have their faith be their own.
Yes, you know, so for me, speaking as a parent, and now I have two kids that are in the youth, you know, that's something that's kind of on the forefront of my mind too, is, you know, when I was going to school at Biola, one of the constant things that they would say is, you know, there's an extreme drop off in church attendance once they graduate from high school, right? And so because of that, it's like, you know, as a parent for myself, it's like, you know, I want my kids to develop a relationship with the Lord that once they graduate from high school, they're still wanting to go to church. They're still wanting, you know, even if it's not our church, that they still want to find a church where they can worship with people, where they can find community and things like that. And so I feel like that's probably at the heart of most parents, right? So I feel like having a multi-generational church like we have just helps in that process. You know, how has that been for you leading the parenting ministry, Ida, and in recognizing some of those things and helping our parents to walk our kids in that as well?
Well, as a parent, not so much coming from the parent ministry, but as a parent, when I see an adult or grown up, as the kids would say, a grown up kind of reach out and say, "Hey, Jackson, what's going on?" And then they sit down and have a conversation with Jackson, with my son. It blesses my heart. It warms my heart. Like, oh my gosh, he could be talking to someone else. Like, I've seen Mark Biles do that. Like, he would sit down and have, I don't know what they're talking about, but they're into it. I know Jonathan does that. I, you know, a whole bunch of people when they, or even, Colleen, she's gotten to know the girls, so she's asked Abby and Eliana and probably Riley, and they do this little origami thing or that string play. You know, that blesses my heart as a parent to see that the, you know, other grown-ups in the church are getting to know my kids and, you know, pouring into them. I mean, it might seem silly, like it's origami, but that's like forging a connection, right? So then later on, I know that if Eliana needs help, she feels safe with these aunties or these uncles, and that they know that they're cared for and that they're loved not just by their parents, but our entire church family. So I would like to see more of that. And I just love that the multi-gen service kind of provides that space to do that, to have those interactions happen, right?
Yeah, and it, and for us as a church, multi-gen doesn't just revolve around the service, which, you know, we do have multi-gen service, but, you know, one of the things that we had recently, and it wasn't a church-sponsored event, but it was a multi-gen event that just kind of came from the heart of Steph.
Sounded fun.
Was this week we had a basketball night, and it was kind of, like I said, born from the heart of Steph, and it ended up being a great time for us to have the kids and adults play basketball together, and it seemed like everyone had a great time. So, Steph, would you like to share a little bit about that experience and kind of where it came from and how you felt it went?
Yeah, so it, I mean, like most or a bunch of people in our church, like, basketball was a huge part of just our childhood and growing up. And I hadn't played in like an actual game in like 13 years. And my friend actually dragged me into this league just as a sub. So I would fill in.
Dragged you the way I dragged you onto the podcast.
Yes. Yes.
You mean you tricked us?
So that was like maybe this past fall, 2025 in the fall. So that was like the first time I played in a real game in 13 years. And so I'm playing in this league like here and there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't really know anybody. Like, and I just know my one friend. But I was just like, oh my gosh, this would be so much more fun if I knew people, or like, I was like, and then my mind went to, oh my gosh, like we need to play, have like a catalyst basketball, something like, I mean, it would be awesome to one day have a league, but that's way far down the line. We got to build up our stamina, but yeah, so that's really what it stemmed out. 'Cause I was like, oh my gosh, I am making a fool out of myself in front of all these strangers, and it just doesn't, like, yeah, I like basketball, but what really makes it fun is the people that you play with. And so I think I realized I value the community around basketball so much more than the game itself. And so I went to Damon, and I think I texted him literally like after my game one night, because I was just like, why am I doing this? This is so stupid. Like, I look so dumb. Like, I suck. But I was like, there's no one here to, like, laugh. like at my mistakes, you know, or just like, oh, brick, like, you know, and like it just felt too serious. Because even like in our Stronger Together groups, right, we play pickleball. And like, right, we're just laughing the whole time. Like it's competitive, but right, if someone like completely whiffs a shot or, you know, you hit someone with a ball on accident, it's like everyone's laughing. And so I think that community, just relational aspect was missing. So then I was like, okay, we got to do this. There's so many people who play basketball.
Yeah, except she said, the first thing she said is, we need to start a league. I was like, what? Like, this is out of left field. Like, and that's a huge dream. Start a league.
Wait, so when did this happen? When did you send that text to Damon?
It was probably close to the end of last year. Maybe November. Around October, November, probably.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I swing for the fences. Dream big. Nice.
I was like, whoa, why don't we try like one night first and see how it goes?
She wants to see people every week.
Yes, it's my dream. So last night we had our first event.
We're recording this on Thursday, so last night was Wednesday night.
Yes, so and my you guys, spirits are high, but my body hurts.
I was going to say, you guys came in here okay. Nobody was on crutches
We prayed before. But yeah, we had our first one last night, and it was
so nobody's
much
on
fun.
Crutches because Brett's small group wasn't there. So yeah. all the competitive, really good players were.
Oh, I thought you said because our small group is the small group most likely to get hurt.
No,
most likely to hurt someone else.
Yeah, break our ankles. You know?
No.
Yeah, no. So last night was the first one. We called it for now. It's temporarily called Bricks and Buckets.
Because we want to make sure that people know that it's right. It's we're going to have fun and there's going to be people that miss and there's going to be times that we make it. So like it's the whole spectrum.
Exactly.
We're going to have fun. Right. So we called it Bricks and Buckets. Yes, there's going to be bricks. Like we're anticipating lots of bricks.
I was going to say, I'll bring a lot of bricks.
We're anticipating lots of buckets too. So, yeah.
But yeah, there was kids there. There was high schoolers, young adults. And older people, grown-ups.
Not kids.
You had about 30 people, you said?
Yeah, like around 30-ish. Maybe a handful more that just came to hang out, which was cool. And then, it was so much fun.
It wasn't like open gym. You had it organized, huh?
A little bit,
yeah. We try to make it organized so that people that came felt like it was an organized thing, and we tried to make it fun. So we had a few different like competitions, like a free throw shooting competition or a 3-point shooting competition, that type of thing. And Steph's team won the 3-on-3 competition.
Yeah, we did.
How did that happen?
Jeff Kim put the team on his back. That's how.
But in the championship game, they all scored. So her team was Steph, Jeff, and Taya. And all of them scored in the championship game, right? So it wasn't just Jeff, but Jeff definitely played very well, but all of them held their own in the championship game, and they all participated, but yeah. Sorry, keep going, Steph.
No, it was just cool. My boys had the best time. They said the 3-on-3 was their favorite, and then a couple of Mason's friends came out too, and they really enjoyed it. And they play a lot of basketball, so I was like, oh, are they just gonna be like, oh, whatever, this is kind of like another practice. But they actually, like, they said specifically they really had a good time.
Oh, good.
And yeah, it was just cool to see everyone in different contexts, you know, just having fun. It was still competitive. I had to play against Damon.
Oh, how was
and
that?
I've heard stories about how Damon plays basketball. Oh. And then I was like, I get it.
You mean like a different side of Damon came out?
I was smiling the whole time.
No,
I don't
he was.
Know.
He was. But while pushing me at the same time.
We were both laughing the whole time.
I was just laughing the whole time. Which, it's hard when you're already out of breath. And then you're laughing on top of it. It's not the best. But yeah, we hope to have it again soon.
Yeah, so if you're hearing this and this is the first time you're hearing about basketball night, we will probably try to do it again. It's probably more on along the lines of like a try something new than something that's church sponsored, because yeah, we don't want to hold the church liable if someone really gets hurt or something. But, you know, it's just a bunch of us that enjoy playing basketball, getting together and having an opportunity for us to, you know, play basketball with the kids and with the adults. And, you know, one of the Richard, who was our guest last week on the podcast, you know, afterwards he came and he was like, man, this was so much fun. And I got to see people in a different context. It's not just a Sunday morning. I got to talk to some people that I don't normally talk to. This was just such a good event, right? And so, yeah, you know, as a church, that's one of the things that we've been talking about since we got our new facility is, are there other opportunities for us to gather outside of Sunday morning and be able to, you know, see our community in those types of ways? So we have things like pickleball. Now we're going to do like basketball night. We had Mahjong night. We had game nights and things like that. Different ways that we can utilize our facility, but then also outside of our facility too, just to encourage our community and recognize, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities in the society that we live in for, you know, multi-generational get-togethers. A lot of it is very specific and focused on, you know, certain age groups or certain demographics or certain things. And but there's such a great like need for that, you know, and that's something that's missing in our society. So, you know, things like this that we're kind of stepping into, we're trying to use that to fill that need. And it seems like people are enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So one of the things that actually came up last night during basketball night was we had a benefactor, right? So we had to rent out a gym. We rented out Wintersburg's gym, and we had a benefactor who covered the cost of the gym.
Oh, wow.
Right? So this is an anonymous benefactor, but, you know, when we were telling people about it, you know, we were saying there's probably going to be a cost. Mm-hmm. We're going to split it between everybody that shows up. So, you know, kind of anticipate, you know, paying a certain amount. And, you know, we wanted to split it. So the more people that came, we didn't want to give a definite amount because the more people that come, the less it's going to be, right? And so people were anticipating coming and paying for it. And so we kind of had a little short devotional.
Oh, nice.
Short meaning like probably 30 seconds. But but it, you know, it revolved around that, right? Like everyone came and anticipated to pay, but the cost was covered, right? And it's very similar to a simple gospel message, right? It's like in order to come into the presence of the Lord, right? We a lot of times recognize that we've done things that probably would disqualify us, or not probably, that would disqualify us from that. But, and there should be a cost to being able to restore that relationship and recognizing that Jesus covered that cost for us, right? And so one of the things that came up at basketball night was kind of at the end, there were some people that came up and said, oh, hey, how much was it? Can we pay? It was like, no, the cost was covered. Don't worry about it. And it wasn't me. I wasn't the benefactor. So they would say like, come on, we want to help out. It's like, it wasn't me. So, you know, I don't want to take your money. But afterwards I was kind of reflecting on that. It's like, yeah, sometimes in our Christian walk, it's hard for us to receive from the Lord, right? Even when he wants to bless us, even when he wants to help us to know that the cost has been covered, it's hard for us to receive that. And there's still something in us that wants to earn it or wants to pay for it, but the Lord wants us to be able to receive. And so that's one of the reasons that this new series that we're starting on for Multigen is about identity and recognizing who we are in God's kingdom, and so that, you know, we don't have to try to earn things from the Lord because we're secure in who we are. So how was that for you, hearing that last night stuff?
No, it was good. I'm glad you kind of tied that in. And I know it always comes from a good place, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, our church is so generous and giving that we're like, oh, you know, I want to pay or I want to help. And And that's what I love about like our people. But yeah, I think for sure there's, and you know, it could be a cultural thing also, like, oh, I gotta deserve it, or I gotta like earn, right? And yeah, it's definitely a process and something you have to be really intentional about. I think for me, I definitely had that mindset. And then when I went to ministry school, that's where they spent a whole year breaking that down, breaking that off of us.
About receiving?
About, yeah, just like this orphan spirit, like mindset that we have to earn everything. And there's just like so many different ways that the Lord like physically showed us that, just through blessings. And we're just like, what? Like, this is like, you know, a dream that, you know, I didn't even really think mattered, but, you know, the Lord fulfilled it. And it's kind of like the thought, like, if it matters to you, it matters to Him. And like shifting your mindset in that way. And yeah, so it's definitely, it's not an overnight thing for sure. But yeah, I think now when I'm blessed or by someone or by something, I just like, oh, like it just feels like just like a gift from the Lord, and that He sees me, and that it's like, oh, well, I'm the daughter of the King. Like, why not? Like, wouldn't He, like, doesn't He love, like, don't we love to give gifts to our kids and see them enjoy it? It's very similar, but just right on the receiving end. And And just being like, oh, no, 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 it's okay. I don't need it or whatever. But it's just like, no, like, thanks God. Like, you see me and you see these little things that, right, you're the King of the universe, and but you still care that I care about these little things, and you want to bless me still.
And it was, and it's His delight to give you good gifts. Wow, that's good stuff. Wow, and then that's a good delight for that benefactor to be able to do that too. Wow, thank you, whoever you are.
I was just going to say amen. I do apologize to my group because we had small group, so we didn't go.
I know, what are you doing, man?
Well, we're putting God first, all right? Y'all need to chill out.
Well, the funny thing is that Brett's...
Don't disturb the peace within my small group.
So
right?
Religious,
don't,
man.
Don't let them...
The presence of the Lord was in that basketball gym.
Well, the God funny is thing everywhere. Is that Brett actually helped us God to secure the gym and helped us with the dates. And it wasn't until later that we realized that there was a conflict with his small group. And I was like, oh, whoops, we were hoping all your guys would come.
Teaching my group delayed gratification.
Okay.
Funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, you know, for us as a church, we don't want to just talk about, you know, multi-gen and how much we value multi-gen. Brett's on the show, so I got to say it. You know, we don't just want to talk about it, we want to be about it, right? So we have, and we want to continue to try to have these different opportunities for us as adults and with our kids, and just to be able to interact, you know. And for me as a parent, it's such a blessing when my kids talk about the just different interactions that they have with the adults. And I feel like that's something that it's unique in what we're doing. And I just really appreciate it personally. So just want to thank all of you guys, you know, for your roles in our family ministry team and helping to cultivate that as part of the culture of our church. So, you know, really without you guys, it would just be adults doing stuff, right? And so we do need a children's ministry, youth ministry, parenting ministry, because it all ties everything together. And when we're all working together on one page, it's like we're just one church family, you know, and not a lot of churches can say that. It's like just... a bunch of different ministries, but for us as a church, it just really feels like we're one church family. And I always say it on Sunday mornings when I'm speaking on multi-gen, it's so cool to just look out and see all the faces of all the amazing people that the Lord has brought to our church, from the youngest to the oldest. It's just really cool.
Yeah, and I think even having multi-gen services, like, I know, like, we don't explicitly say it, and I don't think we need to, but it shows the kids that they're valued, mm-hmm. and that they're part of the church family, and that it's not like, oh, you guys go in your classrooms, so we don't hear you, or, right, like, you mm-hmm. can be wild back there, mm-hmm. but the fact that they're invited in, mm-hmm. I think, speaks volumes, mm-hmm. or that they're invited to these events, or that they're included, it really sends that message that, no, like, you're a valuable, this is your church too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I think that flows into, right, when they go to Brett and Forge and Magnetic, mm-hmm. and then they, when they leave, it's like, oh no, like, this is my church. Mm-hmm. Like, as an adult also, it's like, there's an ownership that I think is being built, mm-hmm. also.
Yeah, I try to be mindful. I think especially when I've done content or like curriculum that aligns, I've done certain things that align with like what the church is going through. And I've told them straight up that we may be going through it in a different way, or the reasons why I felt like we were supposed to do it, whether it's at a retreat or just on Sunday services. And I tell them part of it is like, you're just as important to the church as your parents or anybody else in the congregation. And so, like, what God has for our church is not just for the adults. It's not just for one ministry, but it's for everybody. And so, like, when we've gone through curriculum that is similarly tied to what the sermon series is or what the adults are going through, I told them, because it's like, this is your church too. Like, you, I think it's important for you guys to go through this and know this. And if you're able to understand this or get a hold of it, or, you know, seek God in it, like, at this age, then when you're over there sitting in there as an adult, like, you already have a head start, or you're already able to understand and be on board with those things. And so I do think in ways I've seen the youth grow in taking more ownership and just even looking at themselves as more of a valued person at church. And not that they didn't value themselves, but like you said, there's just a different ownership and level of responsibility where they want to participate in a lot of things because mm-hmm. they're bought in. And it starts, you know, from the youngest ones to everybody all the way at the top. And so, I think the multi-generational services are a huge portion of it. And then I think doing the events outside of church too, just also provide that aspect of like, it's still fun to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
You guys also run the kids church on Fifth Sunday.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great opportunity for the youth to like serve and feel like that's a big responsibility they have.
Yeah, I think most of them enjoy it. I know some of them it's a little bit more difficult. But I think even in that, you know, I try to strategically, I don't want to say put them in a position to succeed, meaning like it's only about success, but it's like, okay, even if serving children isn't your thing, like how can you still grow or be utilized or have God use you as a leader or just a role model or a help, just to be of help. And so I do think they enjoy it. I do think there's aspects of it where a lot of them really enjoy being with the younger kids. And I know the younger kids really enjoy being with the youth. And so it's a good time, except I think we're the ones that caused us to get in trouble a little bit because we were jumping and yelling and stuff, but.
And now we don't have to worry about
that. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really blessed me was at the New Year's Eve service, we had some visitors who had kids. And there were times, I mean, some of these kids were little, right? And the youth did such a good job incorporating the little kids in there that the parents were like, it's time to go home. It's bedtime. And they're like, no, I want to stay. I want to play with. Right. And so that's something that they don't normally get right outside of our church. Right. And this is a visitor and they don't want to leave because the youth are playing with them mm-hmm. in that way. Right. So I really feel like the culture that's developing is really cool. And just to see the youth stepping into that like big brother, big sister role, mm-hmm. it's just really cool to see that, you know, people can invite friends that have kids and they'll get an experience that's unlike anything else that they're going to experience in the outside in society. It's not an Engage to Flourish podcast with a little bit of dead silence sometimes. That's a shout out for you, Kyle. All right. Well, as we wrap up this episode, do you guys have any last, thoughts or things that you would want to talk about for regarding multi-gen values for our church? Anything that you'd like for our listeners to think about that you'd like them to? Yeah, just to know about your heart for multi-gen, anything? How about you, Brett?
I would say, I think it kind of goes along the lines of kind of like trying something new, but, you know, I think with our church's emphasis of wanting to see each other or just do things outside of Sunday, I would really encourage anyone to just go and kind of check it out, whether it's a mahjong night or a game night or even basketball. I think even if you don't play basketball, like you could go just to like socialize and talk, or, you know, not everyone's playing at the same time. There's going to be people sitting or getting water or, you know, have little kids who can't play yet but still want to go, or other people that are part of the family that aren't really interested. And so I think it's just another time to be, like Steph mentioned, in that like relational aspect where you could just laugh and be there and enjoy time. And I know that's the strength of our church, is being relational. And so whether it's learning a new game or just hanging out. Like sometimes I think I go not even expecting to participate in the main activity, but just to be with church people and friends and meet new people. And just to talk is, it's a good setting to do that, because it's different than church where you can't always do that. And so I would encourage you, to just go and see what it is. If you don't like it, that's fine, I guess. You don't have to come back because it's just a one-time event. But I would at least try, because I think you'll be surprised that...
Unless you sign up for Steph's league, then you're committed for at least the length of the league.
Yeah, I don't know for the league
you
if there...
You just show up and watch?
Yeah. Oh, you could do that too, but I was going to say, I don't know if for the league there will be a benefactor that covers everybody, but you might...
You never know.
Yeah, true. You never know. But I would say just to go out and try and see and... hang out. There's going to be someone there that is going to flag you down or want to talk to you or say what's up. And so, I would just encourage you to go out and try it or see.
I wanted to encourage the younger families too, because a multi-gen service could actually be stressful for the families with really, really young kids. Mm. And I remember when my kids were really young, I'd be stressed out, like, please don't go up on the stage and go play with those things. But I would just encourage your families to come out. And even if your kids are just playing and not paying attention, it's okay, because you're still... They are still an important part of our church. So, you know, like when you play a jigsaw puzzle and you can't find that last piece, well, then your puzzle is incomplete. Mm. And our church family is incomplete if you don't show up. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay. Come with your young ones and be part of our church service. And we can, most of the time we have a luncheon of some sort afterwards, so... kids could run around then too.
Yeah, make the service difficult for Damon. It's too easy for him.
Gee, thanks, Brett.
Brett's going to be passing out candy for our service.
That's why I've instituted the rules, right? So, and there, and that's why I tell them the rules every every time.
Yep.
So
wait, it's what consistent. Are the rules?
There's one rule. It's be respectful. Right? And being respectful means that when someone is speaking, that we're quiet and we're paying attention with our eyes on the speaker. And if they're not doing that, then the speaker can call them to attention by double clapping. And then that's when all the kids are supposed to respond, God is good. So even if they're not paying attention, they'll get a chance to proclaim that God is good. So either way, something good's going to happen.
Win-win.
Yes, win-win.
All right, how about for you, Steph?
Yeah, I think for me, just thinking about it's doesn't have to be something big, like a big act, like just the little comments or just reaching out or asking questions or complimenting or just, I feel like those little things from a kid's perspective make a really big difference. Mm-hmm. And they just seem like they seem important or, you know, like, oh, I'm important. Like, oh, what time's your basketball game? Oh, like how'd you guys do last week? Or I know Brinley was like, oh, one of my teachers, she lives by me. And I'm like, who? Like, or you know, or oh, like, and she goes to the same park as I do. And I'm just like trying to think. And I'm like, wait, who? But then I figured it out. And I was like, oh, it's Rosie. And then so now every time, like we saw Rosie at a funeral that was at a different church. Mm-hmm. And then Brinley like pointed at her to me. Like she didn't go say hi, but she's like, oh, like I know her because she took the time to just make that little comment. Like, oh, like we're neighbors kind of, you know. Aww. And I feel like it's just even those little things that build those bigger connections. So it's just like, oh my gosh, like that's such a cute shirt. Like you like Hello Kitty? I like Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
You know, because that's another thing. Like every time we see Hello Kitty, she knows Auntie Dale loves Hello Kitty. And someone even asked her somewhere else. We were like not at a church thing, but she said, oh, someone said, oh, do you like Hello Kitty? And she goes, my Auntie Dale does. And like, you know, they don't know who Auntie Dale is. But right, it's just those little things that really make a difference. And so I don't think it's like we have to go to this crazy over the top like mindset that, oh, I have to go really out of my way to be intentional about making connections with all the generations. But it could really be something really simple.
Yeah, something simple that I found works with a lot of the little kids is if you just give them a high five, and then after they slap your hand, you're just like, ow, how did you get so strong, right? And then they feel, oh, yeah, I'm strong. I got muscles, you know, and they think it's fun. And it's just really something that's really simple, but it gets them going.
Right,
That's cute.
Yeah, so thanks, guys, for coming on. And I know it was last minute ask, but thank you so much for pitching in and coming on the podcast. Really appreciate you guys.
That was fun.
That was fun. Thanks, Damon.
Good job, Damon.
All right. Well, thanks to all the listeners out there. And keep praying for Kyle and pray for Jerry, too, as he's under the weather a little bit. And also prepping for the youth retreat that's coming up in a couple weekends. And pray for our youth as they're getting ready. It's going to be some pretty deep topics that they're going to be talking about. So, yeah, just I'm sure they would all appreciate being covered in prayer by all of our listeners. So thanks again for listening. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.